Hello everyone. This is just to say that technically this podcast was a bit of a nightmare. Paul is with us for about the first 15, 20 minutes or so, probably closer to 15. Then he had major technical troubles, basically dropped out of the podcast so that Tim and I could carry on with it. That meant there were editing problems as well. I've done my best to put it together. I think it's worked out okay. But just bear that in mind when you're listening to it. Okay, thank you, bye. Enjoy.
Intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Ten thousand years ago, historians speculated that podcasts were recorded in this spot by a publication known as PC Invasion. And good news—they're going to be recorded again. Hello, we can start the recriminations and the inquest into why it's been so long in a little bit. But first, introductions. Hello, I'm Peter Parrish. This is me speaking right now, but other people will be speaking at other junctures. They are Tim McDonald. Hello.
Hello, I'm speaking now.
You were. Paul Younger, hello.
Hello, I'm not Tim McDonald, but I am speaking now.
Excellent. Right, so who's to blame for the fact that it's been like a month?
Paul.
It's always my fault, so I'll just take the
Straight
hit.
in there.
Actually, that it probably isn't because we haven't done a podcast with Paul for a while, so in fairness, it's probably either you or me, Peter.
It probably
No,
is.
actually, no, hang on, anyway. We've actually blamed all the video game publishers for releasing games all at this time of year at the
Oh, you
same
know what?
time.
You know what? Yeah,
Yes.
I just blame Bethesda because blaming them appears to be quite good at the moment. That does quite well for me.
Right, good. We're agreed. It's Bethesda's fault. Excellent. Yeah, we had to record today because obviously congratulations are in order to Jeff Keighley and Hideo Kojima, who confirmed their nuptials last night. They're definitely going to be getting married after Keighley's incredibly emotional and heartfelt speech
You know what's on
to
the you know what's on the
Mr.
wedding list, don't you?
Kojima. Metal Gear Solid 6?
No, just Doritos and Mountain Dew. That's the only thing on their gift
Of
list.
course.
No, it can't be Metal
Is
Gear
it?
Solid 6, Peter. That's Konami.
Oh yeah, fuck Konami.
Okay, so what's this about? Is Keighley being
Did you
basically verbally fellating Kojima or something?
Did you not? Oh man, did you not see it?
No.
So you know, last year Kojima was sort of barred from, well, not sort of, he was barred from attending Game Awards 2015
Yes.
by Konami. So Keighley wanted to give him the whatever award it was that Metal Gear Solid 5 had won, and this year he was giving him the like Industry Icon Award. So he had two awards that he wanted to give him,
Were these
and he just.
actually done? Because I did not watch the GNAs because I'm not fucking mental. But were these actually like on stage or were these done like in the advert breaks?
I mean, we'll come to this. Yeah, these ones were done on stage because Kojima was involved, and Keighley clearly is enamored with with this man. Yeah,
Well,
he
who
just
isn't?
launched it. Well, you know, hey, look, I like Kojima, don't get me wrong. I'm just already married, so I don't. That would be breaking all
But
kinds of laws.
if you weren't though,
If I wasn't, well, you know, maybe.
if only you had met Kojima first.
I'd have had to give it some thought. No, yeah, Jeff Keighley's speech was quite over. Did you see it at all, Paul? I know you saw some of this stuff,
No, I think at that point I pulled the gun out of my pocket and was just trembling in front of the screen, holding it to my head.
Yeah, it was quite, you know, he was tearing up, like properly tearing up, and talking about how noble and incredible Hideo Kojima is. And like, yeah, I get it, he had a bit of a shit time for the last year or so at Konami, but steady on, Jeff. Keep your emotions in check, man. Just very confusing to me, basically. The GMAs in general were very confusing to me.
The GAs.
Oh yeah, sorry, the GAs. What are the GMAs?
Oh, that's the media.
That's the games
awards
media thing. Awards, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, never mind. They're confusing too, but
they're also shit.
They are. They are indeed. Yeah, so Tim, you asked whether they gave out the awards in ad breaks and stuff. Yeah. It was the same as it's been the last couple of years. A lot of the stuff was just given out.
It was Trailer Fest 2016 is what you're saying.
Yeah. Some of them were given out before the show, so that was, I don't know if they've done that before, I can't remember. Yeah, you know, it has the same problem that it always has, that this awards show can't take place without massive corporate sponsorship and without an inducement for people to watch, which is the trailers. So therefore, what takes center stage are the trailers and the massive corporate sponsorship, and the awards are just kind of sidelined. It's a real catch-22 dilemma that they can't really seem to get away from, if they even want to.
The problem then is clearly that nobody gives a shit about the awards.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, I don't think anyone would watch if it was just an awards show. I wouldn't. The only reason I'm paying attention to it is because I know some games are going to get announced and I need to write about them. That's the only thing.
Maybe the problem is that they need to make the GMAs slightly less suicide in
GAs.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, the GAs. The Keelys. Can we just call them the Keelys?
Yeah, the Keelys. We'll call it Keelys.
Is it the GAs or is it the VGA? I can't remember.
Well, it used to be the VGAs.
Oh my god. I don't give a shit.
That's the one.
The Keelys.
Is that not the year that we don't talk about ever again?
Can we just agree? Can we just agree to refer to this as Trailer Fest 2016? Because the awards clearly have no real part in the proceedings.
No, okay, so basically, they did have a few on stage, but the only ones that were really given any ceremony were the ones that Kojima was getting and the Game of the Year one that went to Overwatch. And they were even a bit cheeky with the Overwatch one because they just bunged a few other awards on top of Overwatch at the same time. They went like, oh yeah, it's won like best multiplayer and stuff as well. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, pretty, I don't know. I mean, it was good for me because all those parts, you know, the adverts, not the trailers, the other adverts. It's confusing. There were lots of adverts. The ad breaks and the musical interludes and the awards are good for me because that's when I'm writing my stories about the game announcements. So that's quite helpful. But for everyone else, maybe not so good.
No, I totally forgot that the VGAs were around. So that's good. I didn't have to watch them. I'm quite pleased with this.
Yeah.
Hideo, tonight it is finally time to give you one of these. You're one of the most deserving men to have one. You've always been there for me, and you have never disappointed me.
Right, we've had some technical difficulties. I hopefully have edited this together in some semblance of sense and order. Right, we were talking about the Game Awards, and in the time honored tradition, calling them a bit shit.
I've just realised something. Right, you know how they changed the name from the Video Game Awards to the Game Awards? Do they now give awards to things that aren't video games?
Like Monopoly?
Video game. Yeah, like board games, card games.
What was Monopoly going to win? I don't think so. Although, brilliantly, what I did really like was that the award for best RPG went to Witcher 3 Blood and Wine. They just gave it to an expansion, which I think is reasonable, because I've heard it's really, really good.
Yeah.
But I also found that quite funny, that they just wanted to give The Witcher 3 the best RPG award again.
Well, in fairness, we do this with Dark Souls every year.
Yeah, we do.
On the other hand, didn't they give like Dragon Age Inquisition an award for being good at some point? Because
They gave it Game of the Year in 2014, well, so perhaps this is their penance.
Clearly their opinion on RPGs is irrelevant then.
So many people gave Dragon Age Inquisition Game of the Year in 2014. It's one of history's greatest mysteries.
I think I'm the only one here who's played it. Maybe I am the complete outlier, but I don't think so, because I've spoken to, like, Dragon Age, like, total fanboys and fangirls, and they basically said, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition, it wasn't great. It was, you know, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't great. It's like, if even you lot don't think it's great, who the fuck does?
A bunch of games publications in 2014, apparently. But yeah, it's a bit mysterious. How much do we want to talk about the Game Awards, really?
I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to talk about them at all. I never want to talk about them.
I find them a weird and fascinating and slightly disgusting spectacle of consumerism and commodification, so I'm always...
Whereas they mostly make me want to headbutt a meat cleaver.
Or, memorably one year, just get drunk.
Yes, I'd forgotten about that. Mostly because I got blackout drunk from our
That was our best coverage of the Game Awards. We need to do that again.
Sorry, it was good. It was even live-streamed as well.
I forgot that's... we live-streamed that. Do we actually have a recording of that somewhere?
I don't know.
Somewhere, probably.
Oh, God, I hope not.
So some things were announced there. Telltale are indeed doing a Guardians of the Galaxy episodic game of some form.
I would be more excited about that if Telltale weren't doing it.
Harsh,
okay, their comedic stuff lately has been pretty good. Insofar as Borderlands. Borderlands was good.
To be fair, Tales from the Borderlands is probably the closest to what Guardians of the Galaxy would be like of their oeuvre.
Would it though? Or, you know, because that was original characters and so on and so forth. Wouldn't, like, Game of Thrones be the closest?
I suppose. That's concerning. That's concerning. What else? Shovel Knight got a trailer. Shovel Knight: Spectre of Torment, which is a prequel.
Okay, that's good. Shovel Knight was great. I'm happy about that.
Yep. That looked quite good. Yeah.
I tried playing Shovel Knight again recently, and that went horribly fucking wrong because I got to like the last level previously, and then I stopped playing it.
Oh.
I started playing it, and I was like, "Wow, this is really hard. I can't remember how to play this."
Bulletstorm is getting a remaster of sorts. Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, published by Gearbox for whatever reason, I guess because they bought it.
Okay, on the one hand, I really like Bulletstorm. On the other hand, Gearbox don't tend to do really well with things that aren't their properties.
How do you feel about Duke Nukem being in Bulletstorm, Tim?
I don't really give a shit.
Okay, well, good. Because he is,
I mean, he doesn't optionally. Really, he doesn't really fit in terms of the story or anything, but in terms of the tone, kind of, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
I don't think Gearbox are doing a whole lot with it. They're just publishing. It's going to be just a remaster. I don't know what that means for the PC version specifically, because I don't know how many bells and whistles the original PC version had to begin with. So
it was quite nice on PC from what I can remember. Although it was Games for Windows Live integrated, which was also good. I would almost prefer that Devolver picked this up instead and put Lo Wang in it.
Yeah. Oh, now you're talking.
Lo Wang is like
that's such a good idea.
It's kind of weird, isn't it, that like Duke Nukem was the one who was renowned for being this sort of character, and now Lo Wang has kind of taken the place as kind of the self-aware parody of this.
I thought they went a little bit off track in Shadow Warrior 2. They kind of, I don't know, a lot of it went towards a bit too much just straight up being a dick rather than being a self-aware dick. There was still some of that. It wasn't, I'm not saying it was like awful or anything. Occasionally I just felt like, look, remind me that I'm supposed to be rooting for this guy every now and again. Because I am playing as him. Anyway, what else was announced? Some free-to-play co-op thing from ex-Riot devs called Dauntless that looks a bit like Monster Hunter, sort of, a bit.
That... On the one hand, like Monster Hunter on PC sounds good. On the other hand, Riot devs and free to play worries me a little.
Yeah.
Because Riot's free to play model is something I'm not very happy with in general, so.
I don't know if Kojima's Death Stranding is ever going to come to the PC, but we got another batshit insane trailer from that. This time, Guillermo del Toro and Mads Mikkelsen were in it, so that's good.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah. I'm not even going to... Well, okay. Guillermo del Toro is approaching a brick tunnel. He's holding a sort of incubator thing. Then some planes come over and he looks worried, and then some soldiers go over the bridge, and then he turns on the incubator and there's a baby inside.
Why?
And then you notice that Del Toro's had like a lobotomy or something.
Why?
And then no, look, you need to experience this secondhand.
Why is Del Toro in this?
I don't know.
He's a director. He's not generally a character.
I mean, I don't know if he's playing himself. I don't know if it's Guillermo del Toro is in the game world, literally, but it was definitely him.
Well,
his
face,
and everything.
Like, I don't even remember him. I might be mistaken. I don't remember him as an actor, particularly.
No, I don't think so. But it's because he became best mates with Kojima when PT was going to happen.
I know. This is
it.
This is getting quite... I kind of want to use the word nepotistic, but I feel like incestual might be.
So what you're saying in the next trailer, Jeff Keighley's going to make an appearance.
Yeah, probably, and he's going to have like a weird black oil tentacle coming out of him that's attached to like a helium balloon that is actually a baby, and then the whale appears.
And he shits Doritos.
Am I the only one who doesn't really give a shit about this game? Because I don't know anything about it. I don't really care. And I'm slightly worried that...
That's not true. You know that Guillermo del Toro's in it and he's got an incubator with a baby in it.
Do I know this? Because...
Well...
Do we remember the last game Kojima announced back when he was pretending to be fucking Captain Ahab or something?
He was Captain Ahab in our hearts.
Right. I don't know what this is. I don't know anything about it. I don't know whether to take these trailers at face value. And I'm slightly worried that now that he's been removed from the constraints of Konami, he has actually just gone full Kojima. And this isn't going to make any sense.
He's absolutely gone full Kojima. Paul, what's going on? Is your PC broken again?
I think what happened to Hideo Kojima last year was a tragedy, but he never complained. He just sat in an isolated room for months.
What's wrong? Snake! Snake!
Right. What is a game that we've both played? Dishonored 2. We've both played Dishonored 2.
Have we?
To an extent.
Right.
I've played the first level of Dishonored 2.
I've played it. Yeah, you've tinkered with it.
Yeah, well, I keep replaying the first mission over and over again because it's a good benchmark for how shit it still is.
I feel like the second mission is probably a better benchmark because that's when the frame rate really starts to have fun.
Yeah, that's what worries me. I like the fact that it doesn't even work that well in mission one, and that's supposedly pretty okay as frame rates go.
Like the intro sequence was bad frame rate wise, and then the first mission was okay, and then mission two was when you start to get the big wide open Karnaka areas that are really taxing.
Oh good. Although, the throne room was bizarrely taxing. I'm not quite sure what was going on with that.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that was in the intro. In the intro, that was where my frame rate went to shit. And I have no idea whether it still does that after the patches or not, because I think I was already, my second playthrough was already on like the third level or something like that, so I just carried on from there.
It's definitely better. It's definitely better. It's not good, but it's better. And the options actually sort of make a difference now, which is good.
Yes.
Whereas before they basically didn't. You could put all the shadows on low and stuff, put textures on low.
Yeah.
Basically still ran like shit. Although, you get a few more frames. But...
In fairness to them, they have now added in adaptive rendering, or whatever they've called it, adaptive resolution, which is kind of the new option that does absolutely nothing.
But, well, it can make your game look terrible if you really want. You can tell it to try and hold 60 frames per second, and because it can't, because it's a terrible port, it goes, oh, well, I'll drop it to 720p. That's not working. I'll try and drop it to 480p. Oh, no, that's not working either.
I'll render the game in ASCII characters.
That probably just about does it. But unfortunately, it's now a roguelike. It's a very different game. Dishonored 2 port's not very good, guys. Don't know if you've heard.
Which is a shame, because it's a really good game, if it works.
I know, even just playing level 1 over and over again, it seems like a really good game.
You are probably much better at that level than I am. Like, on my second playthrough of that level, I discovered a bunch of stuff I missed the first time.
Oh yeah,
And now you've doubtless completely 100% of that level.
There's so many ways to do it as well. You can, you can sneak it, or you can go violent, which are the obvious ways.
Yeah.
If you want, you can just run. You can just run past all the guards. They don't really care that much. You get a lot, you don't get a good score at the end, obviously, for stealth. The other thing you can do is you can drop onto that that burning carriage thing that's going on the rails. You can drop onto that at one point and just like ride it all the way to the end and then jump off. So there you go. I'm thoroughly familiar with level
one. Our forthcoming guide, Peter, will be writing the level one section.
That's unfortunately as far as I'm going to get.
Yes, that's unfortunately as far as we're going to get with this theoretical guide as well.
You just heard it being being dictated there live. I met the outsider as well, so to be fair, I got to level 1.1, I suppose.
You got to the mid mission bit.
Yeah, the little interlude, and then I was too scared to try and do mission 2 because I've heard it's even worse frame rate wise than mission 1. So I thought, well, if mission 1 doesn't run that well, there's really no point.
I would be genuinely curious give it a go, though, to find out how mission 2 runs for you. Actually,
I will give it a go.
The start, you will notice at the start, there is a point where if you look in one direction, your frame rate will drop. I'm curious as to how it works aside from that, though.
I'm always curious about bits in games that are like... There were bits in Deus Ex like that, where if you looked at a specific part of a wall in Prague, the frame rate would go to about 20. And it's like, what is it about this wall?
I assume it's just
what's it trying to do?
I would assume it's just like rendering something that you can't see. It's rendering a very particular part of the level that is quite busy, that it shouldn't be at that point. And it's also rendering a bunch of other stuff because of your location. I don't know why or how. That's my assumption.
But no, it is a real shame. Like, I'm enjoying playing as Stephen Russell in Stephen Russell's Dishonored.
Yeah. I like that he is actually just doing his Garrett voice.
Pretty much.
I get the feeling that they actually just said, just do the Garrett voice. Just pretend to be Garrett again.
Look, Stephen, you know why you're here. Let's not beat around the bush.
We really like Thief. Our audience really likes Thief. Just reprise the role of Garrett again.
I have to say, the not great narrative pacing at the beginning of the game, though.
Yes.
Like, holy shit. Just dump all of this information in about 30 seconds and then... Right, off you go. There's a coup happening. Get on with it.
I'm going to give you like a minor spoiler here, because I think everyone I imagine most people won't care too much about a spoiler for the second mission.
No, neither do I. It's
right. Right, like the first mission basically introduces like the main concepts, like, oh, there's a coup and you know, Delilah's back because she turned up in the Dishonored DLC. She was the villain of the Dishonored DLC. Delilah's back, indeed. And there's a coup, and there's the Crown Killer going around assassinating people opposed to the Empress, and it's kind of, you know, making her look like a bit of a tyrant and all this. Yeah, the entire Crown Killer plotline is resolved by the end of the second mission.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, and by the way, the Crown Killer making the Empress look like a tyrant going around killing her enemies. Yeah, what do you do in Dishonored 2? What is the plot? That's your job. You to go around killing the enemies of the Empress.
That's the thing. You don't have to kill them.
True.
You can deal with things in a non-violent way. But if you do actually go through it in a violent way, then yes, the whole Crown Killer thing is kind of turned around to clearly it's the Empress or it's Corvo.
It's always like Corvo.
It goes from propaganda that it's probably Corvo or Emily or whatever, and then when all of the deaths and the body count starts ragging up, it's like, yeah, it's definitely.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, no, I think that this killer framing subplot is like, that's good, and Delilah coming back to depose you, that's fine as well. I just feel like the point that it starts at is the point it should have been at two or three missions in.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like this groundwork should have been laid in a few prior missions.
Yeah.
And then the throne room confrontation would be not a climax as such, because it would still be fairly early on, but...
The end of Act 1.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It just feels a little rushed.
It is a little odd, if only because they, like... It's not like they don't have the Dunwall assets in the game. So you could probably have had an extra mission in Dunwall, like investigating the Crown Killer stuff or something like that. But
yeah.
I can kind of understand it with Delilah taking your powers away and stuff like that.
True, that's a good video game excuse.
Yeah,
Notice, by the way, listeners, that I've cunningly steered the conversation to only center around Mission 1 of Dishonored 2. not for any particular reason.
Except that that's the only bit you can talk about.
I'm not under embargo. I just don't know what happens in the rest of it. Well, I know there's a mission where you've got a magical looking glass that can make you travel through time, because I saw that at E3.
That is a really good mission.
And I read your review.
And it fucked my frame rate a lot less than I expected it would.
Yeah, you would think, wouldn't you, that it's like rendering two things at once.
Yeah, and it basically is, but no, that mission was okay framerate-wise, and I have no idea how they pulled off that sorcery. I just wish they'd done it for the rest of the game.
Is it mostly indoors? I mean, everything indoors runs quite well for me. It's just as soon as Corvo steps outside, shit goes bad.
I mean, it is kind of a mansion, and there are sort of the surrounding mansion grounds, but they are basically bare. Sure. And it's divided up. That level almost feels a little bit like a Thief 3 level, in that it's kind of divided up into two loading zones, but one of those loading zones is absolutely tiny and only involves one very small part of the mission. Like, you go there and then you're back to the main mansion again, so I don't know. But no, it's a really good level, that one. And there's something I could say related to another game that came out earlier this year.
I know which game you mean, because I've had that mentioned to me. And I would imagine that the people who made that game were like, fucking hell, really?
Yeah. that was my reaction as well, because it was a very good bit in that game as well. Dishonored 2 does a load of really clever stuff with level design. That is incredibly well done for the most part. It's just the narrative stuff that kind of falls flat. But the level design is top notch.
I'm in Dishonored for the level design, really. So as long as the narrative isn't a complete shit show, and I don't think it is. I just felt it was a bit like, ooh, this is a little hurried.
Yeah, I didn't feel particularly connected to it. There was no moment where, like in Dishonored, where I was like, oh, I really hate this character. Like, oh, I can't believe they've done this. Oh, I'm going to get my revenge for this shit. It's just like, oh, I'm going to do another level now.
Wait till I get home. You're going to be in such trouble. Yeah. Delilah.
Yeah, it just proceeds. It's just kind of a series of linked levels, but those levels are really good. If there is one problem, it's that the levels, I kind of wish there were more just sort of Dishonored levels, if that makes sense, that aren't trying to do something clever but are just a big level that I can explore, because most of them have some sort of cool little unique feature, which mostly works well, doesn't outstay its welcome, and so on, but I think the only missions, there are only two or three missions that don't really have something like that going on. Although most of those, as I say, work really well. The Clockwork Mansion as well is a level that I absolutely fucking despised the first time going through it, which I knew meant that I was going to adore it the second time. And sure enough, I did.
Is it a little... see, I know vaguely what the Clockwork Mansion is about from trailers and stuff. Is it a little sword, like the sword level in Thief the Dark Project, which is very confusing and strange to begin with, and you go like, oh, fuck this.
It is, but then it is very weird, and you have no way of knowing how the fuck you're meant to navigate around it, and it's also your first real introduction to the Clockwork soldiers as enemies. So you're kind of trying to get used to about a billion things at once. And when you've done it the first time, once you've actually got the lay of the land, it is a really intricately designed, beautiful level. With so much in the way of possibilities and so many little things you can do and loads of really cleverly hidden secrets. I should point out, actually, Dishonored 2 really does that well. It has a lot of very cleverly hidden secrets. Like, safe combinations are no longer written on bits of paper somewhere on the level. Some of them are. Most of them are hidden significantly better than that. There were a couple of runes that took me genuinely about half an hour, like, of just trying to get to this rune to figure out how to get to it, because it involved doing something clever with the environment, which I wasn't necessarily expecting or thinking about. Actual puzzle solving, basically. Only in a purely optional sense, but I like that it was there.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to playing it at some point. I mean, it's on my Steam account now, so at the very worst, in like 2 years when I've upgraded a graphics card, I'll probably might be able to play it reasonably well. Plus a few patches.
Yeah, I want to believe that this is going to get patched further, and I want to believe that it's going to get patched properly.
I think it'll absolutely be patched further. I think it's just a question of how much they can do. I mean, they have made improvements already, which is encouraging.
Yes. I just don't know if the difficulties it's having are basically a difficulty with the engine itself.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about that, because id Tech 5 hasn't had a brilliant record on PC. And the fact that they've kind of customized it a bunch makes me a little bit worried. There's some things in there that they're going to struggle with.
What was Doom running on? Because that ran well.
That was id Tech 6.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, presumably Dishonored 2 was happening too early for...
Oh, so is this...
Like, to be 8.
I get the sense, is this kind of a Red Dead Redemption scenario where...
yeah, maybe.
Because if I remember rightly, that was like running on the GTA 4 engine or something, but it was running on a weird hybrid that they'd done halfway, so they couldn't use a lot of the improvements that Rockstar had actually made to the engine, and
that's something. I mean, when you're making a game, you've got to make a decision on the engine early on, and that's, you're stuck with that pretty much.
Yeah.
Bethesda own the id Tech stuff, so you're presumably gonna go with that.
We can but hope for like a Dishonored 2 remastered version in id Tech 6 next year.
In id Tech 6, I don't know if that's possible. Maybe.
Who knows? It's a really good game. It's just one that I'm not comfortable recommending, because I've been having way more difficulty with it than I should be. And like, it runs on my computer. It is playable. I got through it. I finished it. I had a good time with it after a lot of faffing around. The problem is, I don't know if most people have a computer that can run it even with a lot of faffing around, and that's kind of the issue. Really good game. Shame about the port.
I think if you have a PC you very recently bought, or you bought like a 1070 or 1080 graphics card recently, I think you'll be fine. You'll probably be a bit disappointed that it's not running as well as you would expect, but you'll be okay with it. Anyone else might be a bit iffy.
If you're running a 9 series GeForce, for instance, then it's
yeah
it can be a bit touch and go.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, yeah, even people with like 980 Ti's I've seen going like, well, I've just about got 60 FPS at 1080. It's like, Christ.
Yeah. It's a sad thing. It really is. Because it's a really good game. It's a game that I would love to recommend to people. And if you have a PC that is capable of running it, and I mean is actually capable of running it, and you're not sitting there thinking, well, my PC should be able to run it. It runs everything
I've run
else.
All these other games really well. No, no, don't be fooled.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
So what else have we both... Oh, we both played Tyranny.
We
that was
did.
A while back.
That was a while
we could
back.
Both talk about Tyranny.
That was good.
It was good, yeah. Did you finish it, or how far did you get?
I did finish it. I liked it more than Pillars of Eternity.
I can see that.
I think that was probably because it didn't outstay its welcome as much as Pillars of Eternity did. Tyranny felt the right
much
length.
Shorter. Yeah, I mean
it could almost have been a little bit longer just to let you play with a lot more of the end game powers a bit more, I think.
Yeah, I felt like the third act I thought was a bit quick. And I suddenly started getting a whole load of like pretty decent gear that I then couldn't really use for very long because the game ended. Like unlike some people, I'm not too down on the ending because although it sets up more stuff potentially if they want to do a sequel, but I never felt like, oh well, this game's definitely gonna let me go fight the Overlord and conquer the rest of the like that was never gonna happen in this first game. So I don't feel like I was conned out of that or anything.
No, I agree with that.
It wraps up the tiers region stuff pretty well, but I think it does it a little bit quickly.
I
thought Act 2 was too long and Act 3 was too short, basically.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Although that is fairly common for a lot of these RPGs to some extent. Like, the second act tends to be the big, long one where you're doing all of the stuff in the world, and then Act 3 is the finale.
Right, now go and beat up the bad guy or whatever.
I do kind of wish it gave me a bit more in the way of choice as to how I wanted to resolve things. Like, I wasn't too happy about discovering that I'm actually the super special chosen one. I was quite happy being the Overlord's bully.
Same here. I liked doing judicial bureaucracy. I thought that was a really good concept, and which was well executed and continued to be fairly well executed even after you turn out to be the chosen special one. That was almost a bit of a distraction in a way.
I liked the concept of me basically being an enforcer for a brutal tyrant, and it's my decision how I want to enforce these laws and interpret them.
And everyone has to listen to you, but then it's also really kind of jarring when you're occasionally further away, you're in more distant regions. And then people kind of stop listening to you a little bit occasionally. They're like, well, yeah, but if I don't do what you say, what's going to happen to me, really? Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit, I don't have the authority anymore that I thought I had.
Well, it turns out that you do have the authority, but the authority is the really big sword you have strapped to your back.
Yeah, exactly. That's always going to work. That was good.
I did. I really enjoyed it. As I say, I'm kind of disappointed with the direction some of the narrative stuff took in that sense, and in the sense that I kind of wanted to play it out as being entirely loyal to the Overlord, and I didn't get the sense that that was possible. I might be wrong, but it sort of seemed like I kind of had to.
Yeah. I don't think it is, no. From what I know, the paths are you go with the Scarlet Chorus, you go with the Disfavored, you go with the like rebel groups in the tiers, or you become sort of independent and join up with Tunon.
Yeah.
And possibly Bleden Mark. I think you can get him on your side via one of the routes, but not the one I took.
Yeah, I tried my best to get him on my side, and it didn't work out. So I murdered
him. This is
him.
A bit spoilery, by the way. Sorry, anyone. It has been out a while, but...
Yeah, but we are coming up on a Christmas sale, I suppose, so we might need a bit of a spoiler warning in this.
Mm. But, well, I can put it at the beginning when I'm doing a technical warning.
Yeah. I suppose, I mean, we haven't spoiled... Well, okay, we kind of have. I don't think the Chosen One stuff is particularly spoilery, at least.
No.
But yeah, it's good. I liked the changes that it made to the Pillars of Eternity combat stuff. I thought it made the combat a bit more involving and interesting. And the same with the character development to some extent.
Some of the combat changes, I think, are in Pillars to an extent, because they kind of added things throughout them releasing the White Marsh expansion for that. I mean, stuff like AI for your party, which is still pretty god-awful, unfortunately. Yes. But Pillars of Eternity didn't have any of that at all to begin with, and then it did by the end. And stuff like more unique artifact weaponry. That stuff was kind of added to Pillars with later DLCs and stuff. So they learned stuff kind of throughout the making of that, which I think benefited Tyranny quite well.
Yeah. Like in terms of pure engine and general game design, I feel that Tyranny is stronger.
The performance is certainly better. Pillars of Eternity never ran that brilliantly for me.
Well, I don't just mean in terms of performance, I just mean in terms of the mechanics and things like that. I feel that Tyranny works a bit better. Although some of that, I don't think you could transpose Tyranny's mechanics into Pillars. I think Tyranny works because it is meant to be kind of a smaller game, whereas Pillars is more of a grand RPG.
And that's what they pitched, you know, that's what they kickstarted, so that's, you know, that was what it was always going to be. I really like the spell creation system in Tyranny, where you get sort of different accents and alterations to...
I love that. I just wished that I kind of felt like I had more cause to use it. Maybe if I restarted and actually played as more of a mage character, I would be better off with that. But as it was, I was mostly just like creating some healing spells and then creating some really powerful damage spells for the mages in the party and giving it to them, and that's it. But everyone has a healing spell, whatever they can manage.
Of course. I just thought it was pretty good that you can go, right, I want a kind of projectile spell that has an area of effect that causes like fear, say, or knocks people over, and also sets them on fire at the same time.
And it does ice damage as well. It does fire and ice.
Yeah, yeah.
Frost fire.
Which is a thing you can do. Yes. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like that.
I really like the intro... the kind of choose your own adventure type intro where you play through the first couple of years of the campaign as well.
That was superb. It took me about an hour.
yeah, same here. If you add my character creation time to that, it was probably a couple of hours.
That's
really good, and I think was reflected pretty well in the game itself as well. Like if you were the governor of can't remember the name of the town. But anyway, that town, then people in the game will then refer to that. And if, you know, depending which people you left behind to garrison it, that'll all be reflected in the game and stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought
it's all very good.
And that does spin off in interesting ways in the game as well, based on the decisions you make, like which factions you side with in that intro campaign, and then which factions you decide to side with later in the actual game itself. It can have some interesting and unexpected consequences, which was good.
Characters would go like, we still remember back in the war when you did this. And it's like, oh yeah, shit, I did do that, didn't I? sorry, guys.
I liked as well that it sort of gave you a little mouse over prompt for all of this stuff in case you'd actually forgotten about it. It was like, why are they calling me this? Oh, that's right, I did this.
I thought that was a really good way of doing contextual reminders without having characters, NPCs going, as you will remember back in the... Which, like, no one's going to fucking tell you that. Just give me a mouse over thing that reminds me. That's brilliant.
It's a general writing rule, but if you have a character who says, as you already know, or as I'm sure you remember... then that line should be excised.
Yeah. If the person should already know that, then they should already know. You don't need to remind them. If they do need reminding, then do it some other way.
Yeah, I would like to say as well that I really loved the first act, and I was sort of sad when that ended because I liked the whole time limit thing. It wasn't a particularly stringent time limit. I had more than enough time to dick around and do everything, but it made everything feel a bit different. And I was a bit disappointed when that ended, and it was like, okay, now you're in the RPG bit, and you can take all the time you want to go and visit all the places and do the things.
The first act is very, very good. I also like that they factored in... you know that the edict... Okay, so you're given an edict, for people who don't know, that says, right, if you haven't resolved this conflict by this date, everyone in this region will die.
Edicts, incidentally, are they're kind of the manifestations of the Overlord's power. He basically says this thing and has someone proclaim it, and then it happens.
And it's by, you know, it says, like, by the Day of Swords or whatever, and it's in about 8 days' time.
Yeah.
You can use legal semantics to give yourself a lot more time. If you rest for about a week until the Day of Swords has already passed, and then you proclaim the edict, you then get a shitload of days, because it's now ages till the Day of Swords. And that is factored into the game, and that is why Obsidian are fucking geniuses.
There is.
It's amazing.
That is not the only case of legal semantics in the game, I would like to say. There is one more situation where I thought I was going to have to do something genuinely fucking unpleasant. like Planescape Torment levels of unpleasantness. But I managed to...
I think
to...
I know. Is this in the region that I didn't go to?
Yeah.
The Edict of Blades or something?
Storms?
It's the one where there's all like pointy shit in the landscape.
Probably it's the one where your armor clad friend came from.
I didn't do stuff in that region very much,
but yes,
just because of the way my thing played out. But,
whereas I did, and I didn't go to another region, which I'm kind of interested in. There was something that I thought was truly unpleasant that I was going to have to do there, but I managed to essentially find a loophole, which pissed off quite a few people, actually.
it always pisses people off when you find the loophole.
Yes.
That's why it's great.
Yes. I wouldn't say it's a fantastically well-written game. It's definitely got its problems writing-wise, but it has a lot of choice. And a lot of choices that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be there. It's not a case of, are you a good guy or a bad guy?
No. It's mostly... Most of the choices are pretty bad in some way or another. Because, I mean, you're in a region that is at war or has... effectively been defeated, really. Like, there's rebellion and guerrilla groups.
You're in an occupied land, pretty much.
Yeah, and so people aren't having a great time, clearly, and on top of that, you're working for an evil empire, so they're not exactly going about putting in much effort to make things better for people overall.
I did like you could choose whether you wanted to be sort of beloved or feared by your companions. Some of those options didn't seem to make a great deal of sense. I'm not quite sure why they're afraid of me, because I disagree with them on this one notion, but whatever.
I guess, maybe they're worried that the fact, because you're quite powerful, so if you disagree with them, then you might rule against them at some future juncture or something. No, you're right, it's a little... Yeah.
It's a bit sort of sliding scale video gamey. But
it's kind of like fear's the stand-in for, oh, I just don't really like you now.
But, you know, it works. It, for the most part, it works out all right.
It has a lot going for it, choice-wise, and the novelty of playing as a character who starts off, if not powerful in combat, you are powerful in terms of your authority,
yes,
which is... makes a nice change.
It's nice being
instead of being
to...
a guy who's in prison and then you escape from the prison and then you get some equipment and yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's nice basically from the very start of the game being able to walk up to generals and go, all right, yeah, this is what you're going to do and you're going to do it because I fucking said so.
Yeah, and they'll grumble about it a little bit and there's probably bad consequences, yeah, but you can get shit done, damn it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was good. What else have you played recently, Sam?
I've played Watch Dogs 2 recently.
Oh yeah, that is actually recent.
That is actually recent.
Surprisingly, and someone commented on the site to this along these lines, like if you told them last year that the Dishonored 2 port would be utter shit, but the Watch Dogs 2 port was actually pretty good, they would not have believed you. Here we are.
I wouldn't have believed me either, to be perfectly honest. it's not flawless, but it's a decent PC port. It's got a lot of options, and they actually do things in terms of the frame rate, which is quite nice. And it's got really good frame pacing as well. So even if it's running at 45 frames a second or what have you, because you're going through a particularly busy explosive bit, it runs okay. It still feels like it's running really quickly and nicely.
I mean, I can deal with that, you know. I don't mind a demanding game that I have to turn the options down in. Yep. Just as long as when I do that, something fucking happens. And like Mr. Dishonored 2, you put it on all low and then, no, it's still rubbish.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah.
Anyway.
It has confounded my expectations in quite a lot of ways. Not least, I actually kind of like the characters. Because if you remember, I think when we watched the Watch Dogs 2 reveal trailer, we were like, wow, these guys are dickheads. This is a terrible idea. Why are we playing as 4chan?
Yeah, I know. Like, that feeling has kind of persisted with me throughout the marketing stuff. I've kind of thought, like, oh, I don't really... I didn't have many feelings about the main character because he mostly seems to just be there as a cipher for other people to bounce off. But the rest of the cast, it was just like, oh, these guys seem like pricks.
That is kind of still the case, but it's kind of done in a very tongue-in-cheek way.
If they're fun pricks, that's fine.
Yeah, whereas Watch Dogs 1 was trying to be all very grim and vigilante and serious and stuff, this is a lot sillier, with a lot of ripped-from-the-headlines missions, one of which I have a suspicion I'm not actually allowed to talk about, despite the fact the game has been out on console for fucking forever.
Really? Is there some embargo thing on it? Or is it like, don't spoil this mission, please?
Yeah, I think it's along those lines. I can't actually I can't actually remember if this is one of them or not.
Sure.
But there are a few ripped from the headlines missions, like one where you will have to go and basically trick a dickhead pharmaceutical CEO into donating a load of money to charity because he's trying to buy an album and make sure he's the only one who can have it because he's a dickhead.
Yes. As happened in real life.
Yes. And there are numerous other bits and pieces like that as well. Sort of, as I said, ripped from the headlines. There is a Google analog called Noodle, who you obviously have to break into at some point, and they are all kind of very upbeat arseholes who like to talk about health food and talk about how they cycled more than their co-worker last weekend and, oh, they went to this fabulous hiking trail.
Silicon Valley types is what we're saying. Yeah.
Quite stereotypical, but as I say, the entire game up to this point is done in a very tongue-in-cheek manner, and it works quite well.
Does that tone help with what I presume is still going to be a bit of dissonance with, like, so in the first Watch Dogs, it was trying to frame it like you're the vigilante and what you're doing is good, but in actual fact a lot of the shit you were doing was pretty terrible and you were a horrible person. Does that kind of dissonance still exist in the second one, and if it does, is it mitigated by the fact that it's not really taking itself very seriously, so who cares?
There is some of that dissonance depending on how you play with it, but it kind of does a it sort of it divides up the ways you can play into sort of three paths. You can play as aggressor, which is sort of guns blazing, using explosives and 3D printed machine guns, which is amazing. Yes, you can pick up actual weapons off the corpses of enemies, or you can 3D print these amazing guns.
3D printing firearms is a thing. I've definitely seen that tossed around as a kind of, I mean, over in the US especially, as like, if and when people are able to do this consistently, what does that mean for any kind of gun legislation? It renders it meaningless, because anyone can just print one. Anyone who can afford a 3D printer.
I think that we're still probably a way off being able to 3D print a scoped, silenced, semi-automatic sniper rifle, though.
What do you mean? I've seen it when people 3D print like fake versions of Nintendo consoles.
Sorry,
they look thoroughly convincing.
Let me add something to that. A scoped, silenced, semi-automatic sniper rifle with bullets that, after they hit a target, also hack their phone.
Wow. Yeah, okay. No, I mean, it's a similar discussion to, like, what happens when robots have all the jobs kind of thing, where it's like, all right, I see the world moving in this way, but maybe it won't.
Yeah.
Maybe other things will happen first. Who knows?
You can play as the aggressor. You can play as Ghost, where you try to just sneak around and you use your infinite ammo stun gun to disable guards, or you sneak up behind them and hit them in the head with your melee weapon, which hilariously is basically a billiard ball on the end of a piece of string.
I think we mentioned that. I think we mentioned that when it was revealed as well, because that was one of the things.
I really like that. That is actually quite cool. And also it's the sort of thing which, if you tried to use it in real life, you would probably hit yourself, which I'm a pretty big fan of.
True.
Or you can go kind of more the trickster route, where you use things like the your little, I can't think what it's called, little remote controlled rovery thing, and your quadcopter to kind of do things from a distance and cause distractions. And this does let you complete missions in genuinely different ways. Obviously, if you do go around murdering a whole bunch of people, yes, there is going to be some serious dissonance there, but for the most part, when it's private security forces and so on, I don't have too much of a problem with, oh, okay, I had to knock these guys out. I also one of the other ones that's kind of ripped from the headlines is Scientology. You get to fuck with Scientology, or the Church of the New Dawn, as I believe they're called in this.
Weren't they? What were the guys called in Syndicate Wars? Wasn't that like New Dawn something? They were the New Epoch, maybe.
Possibly.
I'm not sure. Maybe that's a real cult. I bet there is a new Dawn cult probably in California somewhere.
But yeah, I mean, it's got much the same thing as, again, Anonymous's war against Scientology, in terms of how one point, you know, there is a protest out front of one of the Church of the New Dawn centers, and everyone there is wearing a DedSec mask, holding up signs, and it's very silly in that sense. What I do like is that you can genuinely do missions in very, very different ways. I've managed to do some without ever setting foot in the sort of restricted area. I sort of sent my rover in to sneak around and got that to hack open the access points for me. And then I used my quadcopter to sort of tag people and then hack something that was a little bit further away. And then I used it to remote control the truck that I had to steal, and just sort of kind of drove that out using the incredibly wonky remote controls on that. And that was great. I can do things like that rather than actually going and shooting my way through or sneaking my way through. I can actually just do it from a distance by hacking stuff. It does kind of fall a little too often into the get up to this really high vantage point, which inevitably means finding a forklift truck nearby and using that to lift up stuff. But I can kind of live with that. It kind of needs a bit more variety like that. But in terms of the variety it actually gives me in the various ways that I can take on missions, I'm pretty happy with it.
I also liked the knitted sweater with the cute fox
yes.
on the front that you put in your head. Go and read Tim's technical review of Watch Dogs 2 if you want to see that.
Yeah. There are some tremendously silly clothing options, and I'm a big fan.
Not
of
a silly clothing option, that's the...
I would not wear that, but if they put that on sale, I would totally buy it.
I'm not, yeah, I don't know if I could get away with that one.
Like that is like as a Christmas sweater or something, I feel like that's
yeah.
That's better than
you're wearing
most.
Wearing it with a prerequisite amount of irony, you can get away with it. Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty good. And I hope this does all right then with people, because I know it's probably going to suffer a bit of a backlash from being the sequel to a game that wasn't received that brilliantly, that seems suitably different. But
it's kind of the Ubisoft thing again, where Assassin's Creed was a bit shit and then Assassin's Creed 2 was really good. It's not as good as Assassin's Creed 2 was to Assassin's Creed 1, if that makes sense.
Sure. Sure.
It is still not as good as we all wanted Watch Dogs to be, but as an actual game, it is enjoyable. It is really good fun.
I always like to find that in a game.
Yes.
to be actually enjoyable.
It's quite important.
It's up there,
whereas
definitely.
Watch Dogs was a bit forgettable and it had a bit of a shit storyline. It had all these nice ideas that didn't quite work out, whereas this is tongue-in-cheek and fun, and it's got some very silly characters and... Yeah, I'm having quite a good time with it. I imagine I'll be reviewing that
good. Early
next week, I guess. I think I'm probably most of the way through the main storyline, but I should probably check out some of the side missions as well.
good. I believe Paul's doing a lot of Paragon things for next week,
which I can't specifically
talk about. But
I don't think we can talk about them, except if you like your Paragon... He'll be able to tell you stuff next week.
And also, if you like your Paragon, you'll vaguely know what it's about, because it's not like some of this stuff hasn't been announced or anything. So you'll have an idea. I'll probably have the Wood Elf DLC for Total War Warhammer next week, which is also out next week. So unfortunately, I won't have as much time to look at it as I did for the Beastmen, which were around like a week in advance. So that's a bit of a shame.
We're kind of wrapping up with the year's releases at this point, aren't we? I think the only one outstanding in my mind is Space Hulk Deathwing.
I've also today I got sent Steep review code.
Oh right,
the Ubisoft Winter Games thing. So I at least I'm going to do a tech review of that.
I
don't know if I'll review it in full, but I'll. Let's see how the rest of the month goes, basically.
Yeah, that, I'm not going to lie, that actually, that does interest me. I didn't play the open beta of this, but I do like my Winter Games stuff. I've spent quite a lot of time with things like, SSX is a really bad example, because that is super arcadey, but I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely not trying to be that.
No.
I can say this much, it seems to run very well on PC.
That's good.
So that's good news. Playing it on keyboard's a bit weird, not necessarily because they've made bad choices or implemented it badly, it's not a keyboard game, really. Like, if you were to not own a gamepad of any kind, you could certainly play it on keyboard okay. It's not preferable, and really, it's...
I would be curious as to how that would run with the Steam controller. Not just because controller is a really weird piece of hardware, but because that means I would have to run Steep through Uplay through Steam, presumably.
Yeah.
Although I would imagine it's also on sale on Steam.
It is on Steam. It does the thing where it opens Uplay, because that's how the open beta worked, I think. So anyway, I will look at that.
Cool.
Other than that,
I think it's going to be mostly year-end wrap-up stuff.
I think also Guilty Gear Xrd Revelator is out in mid-December at some point. Tim, you might be interested in that.
Wasn't Revelator the one that came out before?
I thought that was Sign.
Oh, yes, you might be right. Yeah, that's right. That's the only
reason I know this is because I wrote the news story for it a couple of days ago.
No, you're right. Sign came out And Revelator was kind of the forthcoming one, and they were doing a lot of marketing stuff for that at the time. Yes, okay.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we will be running our pretty much usual slate of awards stuff, I think. At least that's what I'm planning.
Yeah, expect
and
some.
And if I'm planning it and you're planning it, then it'll probably happen.
Expect some tremendously silly awards.
Yep.
I would like to think we'll get at least one more podcast in. Hopefully one with Paul.
And we'll, we'll try and sort it. Basically, Paul's technical issues surround his either his PC or his USB ports or Windows 10 or his headset or... Or maybe it's just him. I don't know. But yeah, we'll...
I would like to get at least one more podcast done, and hopefully with things quietening down a little bit over the course of this month.
Yes, which they certainly are.
There was a point
where I was reviewing like Tyranny and Football Manager and Slytherin's War Game all at the same time. Which is a little difficult to juggle.
Yeah, you weren't really the only one. I think there was a point where I was chucking out. I think I did, what, 3 articles in one day or something, and yeah.
You certainly did, like, 2 tech reviews in a day.
That was Monday. That was the Dishonored patch and Watch Dogs, I think.
That's right.
But yeah,
well, hey, I did write a whole paragraph in that Dishonored 2.
Hey, that was a very important paragraph.
I mean, partial credit.
That was a very
important... 10 minutes I dedicated.
Very important paragraph.
Well, it's also useful to get NVIDIA and AMD...
it's just generally useful to get a second perspective to make sure it's not just my computer.
Yep. Well, like, for example, the Darksiders Warmastered had some real AMD problems until today, actually, when they patched it and it suddenly runs fine. So
okay.
I think that's fixed now. It was a bit shit on AMD cards for the last two or three days.
I was going to say I could always have installed that and had a look at it. But
I was fairly confident it ran well on NVIDIA when I saw a bunch of people saying they had like 950 cards and it was running at 60 FPS. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is fine on everything. Yeah. That isn't AMD branded. It wasn't horribly unplayable on mine. It was just, you know.
Did it look nice?
It looked fine. It looks.
Did it look like an old game?
To some extent, it's more that it's sort of structured like an older game. It's interesting when you. I mean. Darksiders was only 2010, but when you go back to games,
it's
sort
like
of
6
notice,
years old, 7 years nearly.
Yeah, and you notice little things where, like, oh, they probably wouldn't do that.
Yes.
I'm struggling to think of a direct example, but it just sort of, yeah.
Even
the menu typefaces are kind of really kind of cheap looking. That's a weird. I'm not complaining about that. That's just a weird thing that they were, you know, like Dishonored 2's menu is fully stylized and everything. And then I think that's the thing that older games didn't really care about. They'd just be like, oh, here's a font for your options.
The one thing I always remember about Darksiders, other than the fact that it was basically like a Zelda game on PC, only with a really, really ridiculous grim dark theme. The one thing I remember...
Yeah, the melodrama is absurd.
It's great.
Quite funny. Quite funny, but absurd.
The one thing I remember is that this was about the point where I started getting really pissed off with games doing that thing where they start you fully powered and then take all of your powers away.
It's like,
here you go, have all this really cool stuff. Not anymore! That was about the point I started getting really pissed off with that happening in games, and it seemed to happen a lot less after that.
Can we talk about the trial that War has at the beginning of Darksiders? Because I don't think it's a very fair trial.
I can barely remember it because I played it 7 years ago, but sure.
Well, basically War's defense is, well, I showed up on Earth because the demons and the angels were fighting and all the seals had been broken, and then the council are like, no, but the seals haven't been broken, so you shouldn't have turned up. Like, they don't ask any other witnesses, though. They don't confirm. Like, there were plenty of people there who could go, yeah, no, the demons and the angels were definitely fighting. It's fine. You don't need to convict him of anything.
I
Instead, they just go, like, no, No.
I genuinely can't remember if it is a plot point that they are dicks about that or not.
I mean, maybe. Maybe they're in on it and they want to unjustly convict him.
Part of me thinks that might be the case, but I... Like, that is not a spoiler. I genuinely cannot remember the story to that game at all.
I mean, I suspect that is the case, but...
I just remember that the voice, the voice in your ear was Mark Hamill, if I remember
it right. Is, yeah. Doing kind of a Joker voice.
It was great.
Not quite, he's not quite doing full Joker, but he's sort of 60% of the way there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
That was great.
It seemed pretty good from the couple of hours or so that I played of it.
It was good. I mostly remember getting to the point where there were huge fucking spiders and going, oh, for fuck's sake, why are there giant spiders? On the one hand, they didn't bother me that much because, if I remember rightly, they were really easy to fight. Like, you just sort of knock them down and they fell over and then you just stab them a bunch of times and, yeah, it was fine. On the other hand, I do remember it being absurdly creepy because there was a point where you have to like walk along one side of a web and the spider is on the other side mimicking your movements. So it's like you're walking along the top as the spider is crawling along the bottom directly underneath you, and you have to do this to lead it somewhere for reasons. But yeah, that freaked me
important,
the fuck out.
Important video game reasons.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right. Let's wrap this up. I don't actually know how long this podcast is because we've kind of stopped and started a few times.
I would guess it's probably about 85
an
minutes.
Hour? Maybe more than an hour?
You might be right, actually. It might be less than that.
Anyway, yes, we will try and get this a bit more regular than it has been. That shouldn't be difficult. We'll try and get everyone up to speed technically. Sorry if the start seems a bit disjointed. I'll do my best editing it.
Sorry if the start seems a bit disjointed. That's because it is. Imagine what it was like for us trying to jump back into the conversation after these breaks.
Going, what time is your Audacity recording at? Is it like 9 minutes? All right, okay, let's start again.
What were we talking about? Was it maths? Were we talking about math? Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
There's a whole Kojima Death Stranding section which may or may not make it into the final cut.
I hope it does, because that was a really good section.
I hope so too. We'll find out.
Indeed.
Maybe I'll try and salvage it as a bonus bit at the end if it can't go into the main bit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway.
Thank you for listening and sticking with us. Goodbye.
Thank you and goodbye.
And silent under the dawn of that last great day.